Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's quite very important to thank Madia Sangala with the Twilight. And this is a platform, this is a time where we discuss everything that is happening, particularly issues of bread and butter. What are those things which are affecting national development? What are those things which are affecting continental development? And also, what are the challenges which are coming from the global front in terms of economy? Where are we? Where are we in terms of human development? Where are we in terms of infrastructure development? And also, what is the progress that we have done for the past 35 years? What are the challenges, opportunities, and also new development in terms of, trade and also governance? We look at national policies, foreign policies, and also trade agreements. And yeah, we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, Eagle FM, and with me, David Shombe. We are taking you through what is currently happening, and we are also going to indicate what is that we have on the table today. What is that we have on the table today, particularly regarding advancement of Africa, and also what are the African leaders saying, particularly in terms of their relationship with international financial institutions, and also what do they need to do in saving their countries and also reaching the Africa that we want. So yeah, we know and we understand some of you are still pushing. You are still pushing on your way to work. Some of you are returning home. Some of you still thinking of what is that I need to do? What is that I need to do today? But the fact that you have a daily plan and you start acting on point number one, you are better than majority of the people, because what you need to do, take action, move forward, and there is no a better day. Because if you are feeling that you are weak that day, just need to make sure that you stand up. The fact that you are awake, that is already a blessing, and you are already ahead in terms of planning, and also in terms of you being a responsible citizen. Because what you need to do, we don't only need to think about ourselves, but when you're waking up, you're waking up for your country, you're waking up for the generation which will come after you, and you are setting that foundation. Because what we do not know is that whatever we do, we are writing history. And is that point in time where history is being written every day, every moment, and also every action. So yeah, we are always indicating to you that follow us on our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia, and read the Villager newspaper. Let us start. What do we have on the table today, particularly regarding international ground? What is happening on international ground? And let us start with the Frenchman. Let us start with the Frenchman. What is happening in France? What is that happening in France? And also, after France, we are coming to Israel, then Africa. It's quite a lot happening. It's quite a lot happening. But let's start with what is happening in France. Because France have been trending, not for so good reasons, particularly these days. Not for so good reason. And we need to look at that aspect and also see why is France, and what are some of the, expectation, particularly to those who are leading the government of France. It was indicated that the newly appointed Prime Minister of France, that is Sébastien Lecornu, has resigned just not more than 24 hours after he established his government. And this is bring another burden, particularly when it comes to France politics. And also it's cornering the president of France, especially when it's coming to leading of a fragmented parliament, where there is no outright majority. And what is very interesting is that the newly appointed prime minister, who was just not even a month in office after the previous minister also resigned due to his inability to pass the budget, and it was indicated that currently, as we are speaking, Emmanuel Macron, who is president of France, is still seeking for another prime minister to see how he can run government, and also how this prime minister can be able to work together with parliament, and also to upgrade France's economy, especially in a situation where it is now. You'll be able to realize that France's economy is not doing well. France's economy is not doing very well in terms of debt per GDP ratio. It's beyond 100%. And when you are looking at the impact of this resignation to the economy of not only of France, but also to the euro, and also when it's coming to international investment agencies, you'll be able to realize that one political move has an impact on the market, because those who are dealing with investment, those who are dealing with money, they are always focusing on the direction of politics, on the direction of powers. And what you need to understand is also that when there is war in a certain country, the investors, they make sure that, some of them, they pull out, some of them, they minimize their, involvement, and also to see how they can protect their properties and also investment. That is why this move is not only a political move, it's also a move which was felt by, by the market. And you'll be able also to ask questions, to say until when France is going to be like this. And also the question that you need to ask yourself is that, what is the way forward? Because some parliamentarians are asking for Emmanuel Macron to resign, and they stated that he's not going anywhere. He's going to be there until 2027. And it's also very interesting also to see that how come the system of democracy, which comes from the first world, is still failing also in the first world. But I think it's also quite very important also to give credit to some of the African presidents, particularly those who manage the politics of coalitions. Because when you look at South Africa, whatever is happening in South Africa, the up and downs, the coalition is still standing, the coalition government is still standing, or what is called as the government of national unity. You'll be able to realize that leading a fragmented parliament requires somebody who can negotiate, requires somebody who can also do the trade-off for you to lead those people, because otherwise being at the center is quite very difficult, and you can be outset anytime. And there's not quite a difference, particularly when it comes to French parliament and South African parliament, because when you look at South African parliament, the president is not elected by the people. The president is elected by parliament, but here in France, it's only in the case of that who lead government, who is a prime minister, although the president is elected by the people. But it's quite almost a similar system, where you have that who is at the center of leading that government has to make sure that you balance between those who like you and also those who want you out, but making sure that you are not compromising the needs of the people on the ground. I think it's quite very important if South Africa managed to manage the fluctuating coalition, or what is called the government of national unity. When you look at France, things are not well, and you also be able also to see what have happened in the market, particularly to the euro, and also to the international trade, statistics when it comes to the impact of resignation of French Prime Minister.
Caroline, okay. do we have any idea why this has happened?
Yeah, we need to look at this news. We need to look at this news. What happened? Why? And what is the impact to the market? Let us look at this. And
4 weeks in office. We begin with that breaking news out of France. Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu has resigned after less than 4 weeks in office, deepening the French political crisis. This announcement is coming just hours after he unveiled his new cabinet, which faced criticism from opposition members and members of the ruling alliance. President Emmanuel Macron appointed Lecornu in September after the previous administration lost a confidence vote in Parliament. The French presidency said in a statement that President Macron has now accepted his resignation. Let's go straight to DW correspondent Lisa.
Yeah, maybe no one wants to be at the sinking boat. No one wants to be at the sinking boat because there's always a saying to say, you know, that of who have power does not really put himself at the firing line. That's why when you look at what the French president is doing, he's putting, he's fielding his men there, but there is fire there in parliament. It's quite very difficult. It's quite very difficult to maintain the balance of power. And there are only a few options. Maybe for the president of France to resign, maybe for him to dissolve parliament or go for fresh re-elections of parliament, or to see if he can still appoint another prime minister who can be able also to put government together, and also to see how France is going, and also to revive the economy. Because remember, apart from the economy of France not doing very well, remember that France lost, you know, her external partners, particularly the African colonies, the former African colonies, the countries that were supplying minerals, raw materials, such as uranium, gold, diamonds, to France. And it's quite a very critical situation that, you know, not only for France, but also for Europe, and also for the future of, you know, NATO and other other countries in the European sector, or in the European, you know, continent, because France has been a major player, particularly when it comes to European politics, and also influence either in terms of the economy, trade, and also influence in terms of global military power and innovation. But in this case, at this point in time, and I also need to understand that this thing can also spill over, to countries that are in trade relations also with France, You may be able also to understand that it's not only a domestic issue, but when a global power player is in crisis, this is also felt outside. And it might also be able to spill over, especially when it comes to those who are in direct relations, trade relations, and also security relations, because up to now, there is no full functioning government in France. It's only the president. There's a gap there because the prime minister has power to appoint the ministers and also to form government. And what is very interesting is also that there is no term limits for the prime minister of France. There is no term limits. It depends on the happiness of that you know, parliament. It depends on his relationship with parliament. But it's also quite very difficult to stay there for quite a long time, because that is where you have to deal with everybody. That is where you have to deal with all politicians, particularly at that August House. Yes, looking at other news, it was indicated that Israel celebrated or commemorated the 7th of October. It's the day that caused, you know, scenes that we are seeing. The day that led to to this global conversation, global debate about genocide. Because remember, in 2023, October 7, the militia or Hamas group have attacked Israeli citizens and kidnapped more than 100 of Israelis, and that is what they've caused this retaliation, and what they've caused the death now when Israeli reacted. That is what led to the death of more than 65,000 people and in Gaza Strip, and that is also what they've contributed to the global, you know, crisis, particularly regarding the division of countries in terms of the views of who is a terrorist, what is global peace, who should put peace, and also who should be, you know, in charge, who should be in charge of making agreements, particularly when it comes to sovereignty of countries. And yeah, let us look at a short commercial break, then we look at this news.
시와나샤 나미비아 캄베레라 오마카룽가 코에 파무에 나 임바 이노카라 우리코니마 예시가 엔데라 파무에 네팀보 무유니 워 테크놀로지 이모네나 에인비로 조에무네 콩고디에 요페케 파무에 나 임바 임바 오테타 파무에 오시와나 노콴자가 카네카 온짐보 모시와나 아시헤 샤나미비아 모카 에파카 임바 오타모 아디카 에화타 존짐보 도옹게레카 다요로카 가시 에칸가노 자 엘신 오마임보 Riro Joshi Herero, Simane Kakarunga, Jakatorika Karoma, Joshimburu, Sang Fortier, Nongereka, Dimwe. Tengera Nena, Ngere Oapumba Omaimbiro, Ongereka Yue, Lakarega Wedwako, Koka Epa, Ka Imbako, Nora Hetatu Imwe, Barindatu, Tano Hetatu, Nora Hamano Datu. Nenge Ututumine o email ko digital@omalaiti.com. Otogoruku Ada, Oka Epa, Ka Imbako App Store, Noko Google Play Store. Imonena imbaroe nena.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are looking at this news of Israel and also Palestine. Particularly when Israel is remembering the 7th October attack. And you'll be able also to listen to some of, survivors, and also be able also to see what is the way forward. But what I'm indicating here is what Prime Minister Netanyahu have said, who, you know, indicated that, in terms of he's very angry, especially to his allies, particularly the European allies, of standing with Palestine, and especially when it comes to recognizing or announcing the support of Palestine to be a state, and in this case, there's also an aspect. There is an aspect of calling for releasing of hostage, because remember, since 7 October 2023, some of the hostage are still held by Hamas. Some of the hostage are still held by Hamas, and the families are still asking for them to be released. That's why the only thing that Hamas has as a shield before it was supposed to be totally destroyed is the hostage that they took, and that is one of the things that is saving them, because imagine 65,000 people killed. What could have happened if all those hostages were not in the hands of, or were some hostages were not in the hands of Hamas? Would it be Gaza that we see now, or would it be a different thing? Yeah, coming to Africa, before we go to whatever on the table today, I think it's quite very important also to look at what is happening, especially in Madagascar. When you look at what is happening in Madagascar, you may be able to realize that for the past 2 weeks, Generation Z have been calling, have been, you know, protesting, want, you know, the government or want the president to resign due to his inability or the government's inability to cater for the needs of the people, such as the aspect of water shortage, electricity shortage. And also, you will also be able also to see and understand that due to massive demonstration, the president of Madagascar, that is Andry Rajoelina, was forced to dissolve the government. He was forced to dissolve the government. And even at the point of him dissolving the government, the protests continue. The protests continue, and it was indicated that the Generation Z have called for the president himself to resign. But what is very interesting is that what is happening now, after the dissolution of government, Andry Rajoelina has appointed the military general as prime minister. And it's very interesting to see, to say, is it turning to a military state? Is Madagascar turning to a military state? And how is the future looking like? And who is this army general who is now a new prime minister? And also, what is SADC position, particularly when it's coming to this? Because what is very interesting is that when you look at what is happening in Madagascar, the person who is chairing SADC region is the president of Madagascar, and SADC being known to uphold principles of democracy, appointing an army general as a prime minister, particularly in the situation where the country is faced with protest, is it seen as a threat? Is it seen as intimidation, or is it a turning of a state into a military state? But let us look at who is this new army general who is now the prime minister of Madagascar, and who is currently in charge. Is it the president, and how is the formation of government, and also how is Madagascar going to be looking forward? So let us look at this news before we come at home. It's quite very interesting, because there's a lot of things happening in Africa. So there's a lot of things happening in Africa. You may think what is happening is the end, then something new pop up, and you know, a space to look into. So let us look at this news and move forward.
And amid growing protests that have sparked a major political crisis in Madagascar, President Rajoelina has appointed an army general as the country's new prime minister in a bid to restore stability. Army General Rufin Fortunat Zafi Sambo has been appointed as the new prime minister of Madagascar. And prior to his appointment, he served as the director of the military cabinet in the prime minister's office. This leadership change follows President Rajoelina's decision last week to dissolve the entire government in response to the ongoing protests.
Kuwa apa indeni With wisdom, I have decided to appoint Rufin Fortunat Dimbisoa Zafisambo, Divisional General, as Prime Minister of the government.
Security forces in the Madagascar's capital have used tear gas to disperse protesters on the 12th day of the unrest. The protests have spread across cities, with students and youth demanding better living conditions and the president's resignation, increasing pressure on the government to restore stability. Despite clashes with security forces, protesters continue their demonstrations.
Yeah. That is what is happening in Madagascar. That is what is happening in Madagascar. Because when situation become tough, the president of Madagascar decided to appoint Army General Zafisambo as the new prime minister, and with the aim to bring about stability. And you need to understand that when it comes to when it comes to United Nations report, it's indicated that when the protest started until now, more than 20 people have been killed and over 100 of people are injured. And also to look at this aspect, who are these people who are demonstrating? These are the young people. Okay, these are the young people. But yeah. Let us listen and also see what the caller has to say. Yeah, you can call back and give your input at 083-288-401-083-288-401. So you can still call and give your input, particularly on that ground. And when it comes to either is the news of France.
Hello?
David.
Yes.
Before I forget, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Hello?
Yes, morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Before I forget about the Madagascar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the president.
Mm.
Did a very right and wise thing.
Come again?
The president.
Yeah.
Did a good and a wise thing.
Why?
Because he had to appoint an army general.
Oh, okay.
To be in charge of the government.
Why are you saying so?
I'm saying so based on the following grounds.
Mm.
One is to secure the peace and security and the sovereignty of that that island.
Okay.
Secondly, you say they are the mostly the young ones who are demonstrating.
Yeah.
Behind them, there should be somebody who has infrastructure. How do you call that word? To infrastructure to get in. And violently, what is it? That word that they use instigated the young ones.
Uh-huh.
I understand problems, social problem, economic problem, or political problems are there.
Yeah.
And if you allow things to happen like the way they happen in Kenya and many many other countries like South Africa, listen, in Angola.
Yeah.
You see that the trend,
yeah,
the trend of instability
mm.
that are caused by people who are now have become so much distractors.
So
you know, Dwight, you know how to describe them, and I heard them being described also by the president Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah.
Okay.
Now, if you cannot. And you understand, you have to dissolve the cabinet because people and the people who are within the cabinet are the distractors. Some of them are the distractors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they are working together, collaborating with the enemy of the state.
So you are saying if the state is not able to provide for its own people, then the people stood up.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Are the people, is the state not able to provide for their own people there?
Yeah.
And we have even seen that. Even in, you see, I don't know, do you expect the state to provide everything fully and not to facilitate and implement the policy or legal framework that we are able to enable us for the peace and the economic growth to progress?
Just hold on. Just hold on for a bit.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights.
Yeah, you can call back and give your input. It was indicated that the caller indicated that there is a distractor, there is always an infiltrator behind. But the question that you need to ask yourself is also that in the context of democracy, when somebody is protesting to express his opinion and views, yes.
Sorry, you were asking me a question which I was attempting to answer, and I said,
"Yeah."
You said if the state,
yeah,
cannot able to provide that is needed,
yeah,
and responding to the need and the concern and the interest of the masses.
Yeah.
And that's not what it should now go and harass people or deny people from demonstrating. You understand?
Yeah.
So there is a difference between riot, demonstration, peaceful demonstration, and riot and rebellion.
Yeah.
So the distinction has to be made clear there. So if you are protesting, like for example, let's say use Namibia as an example. People have been demonstrating here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because of the lack of service, delivery in many other areas and things like that.
Yeah.
And their concerns are being heard. The petition is handed on. People work on this issue. And not only the state or the government that can able to provide these things,
yeah,
but they are also institutions within the structure of the governance.
Yeah.
Who are also there to mandated to provide services that perhaps the government might not be able to provide. But that does not mean you should now go and violate, riot and rebel and chaos, cause chaotic an ungovernable situation.
Have you listened to what the president of Madagascar had to say before he dissolved the government? Because when he dissolved the government, because in most cases you dissolve the government.
What did he say? What are the reasons why he dissolved the government?
He indicated to say, I have heard you. Maybe we have failed you. But in this situation, this is what he has to do. He dissolved the government because he accepted that. Because if you dissolve your own government, you accept a mistake. And that's why now these people say, no, we want you to go also. Then he said, no.
So there was something that used to be circulating. Yes, we have heard you.
Yeah.
That was the former president.
Yeah.
We have heard you, we have listened and heard it. And the reason why you are saying you have heard you is true. We have heard.
Yeah.
And I even myself, because I've been listening to Eagle FM from that time.
Yeah.
We have heard you. We were complaining. You even went around in the community, regions, whole meeting.
Yeah.
The president say, we have heard you. We have failed you. There are obviously areas where there are room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying now that because people are not demonstrating in Namibia, there are no lack of service, the higher rate of unemployment of the youth, among the youth, for example, and the middle ones, and that's why people came in, and the president, Dr. Nandi Netumbo Ndaitwah, said, yes, we have heard you. From the beginning, this is a legal continuum. Now we are going to implement some of this youth program funding in what we have heard you. We are addressing that. That's exactly what the president was saying. Now for you now to say that if you have acknowledged that we have heard you, and then this is what you are going to address, and you have acknowledged that you have failed there and there. So now you should also resign. Then the country become what? Ungovernable.
What I'm saying.
And the people die.
Sorry?
And you are going to blame the whole international community. You are, even Namibia will not be at peace because you are going to be at pain because people are dying there.
I don't.
Now that the president has acknowledged that you have helped you.
Sorry. I don't think we are getting each other correctly. What I'm indicating is that is what's happening in Madagascar. You know that in terms of Namibia, we don't have collapse of institution yet. And,
we don't have collapse of institution of governance.
We are one of the peaceful countries in SADC. That one you can give it to us. Maybe in Africa also. But what I'm indicating here, and I think it's also quite very important when we are putting it into context and let us not, mix it with what's happening in Madagascar. In Madagascar, what has happened is that the Generation Z, these are the young people who are born from 1997 to 2012 there. They stood up and say, we are not feeling what is happening in this country. We are seeing that there is shortage of electricity, water, and many other basic services. Then they protested. When they protested, it's mass protest. It's not a demonstration. It's mass protest. Then...
Yeah.
In that context, the security forces, they were deployed. Then more than 22 people killed. And in that context, what you need to see is that, the government felt that pressure. Then the president has to dissolve the whole cabinet. That was a decoy to make sure that for him to take the blame out of him, he have to dissolve the government to say, no, maybe these guys are the one who failed me. But now appointing a military general and you are the chairperson of SADC, is that really what is in line?
You know, you are so much concerned with when the military general or military personnel come there. You think those people who are military personnel are not democratic?
No, a military is not a civilian, and that is...
No,
that
listen. Listen.
Yeah.
You become a civilian.
Yeah.
You become a military person.
Yeah.
And it does not mean that when you are a civilian personality, you have not acquired, you have not learned the value of democracy. And you only learn them when you become a military personnel. No, that's not what it means.
No, I think we have different views on governance and that structure. You get it that way, but how I look at it is that when you have the army is a different, it's another organ of the state which is protecting territorial integrity and other aspects. But when you have a civilian government, is that not what democracy is to say?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying when it comes to when the life and the public interest and the life of the citizen are at stake.
The life of what?
The life of the citizen.
The what?
The life of the people of the country.
The people are the one who are in the street.
Yes, not all of them were in the streets, but you are differentiating because you are saying the young one who were born from this time up to this time.
Do you know that is telling you that when you are speaking out of statistics that the majority of African population, which is 70%, is under the age of 30, and that is exactly what is happening. If you are taking that portion.
This is the group that is more vulnerable, and the enemies and the distractors are taking advantage through these people.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. We continue on this side.
Okay, thank you. Yes, that is Gambwana. You know, we have different views and approach about issues, and it's quite very important also to educate each other and also to share perspective. That's why there's always a saying to say you are entitled to your perspectives and views, and we accept that. That's why in this context of somebody from the army who is put there out of all the sudden, and we see how things are going to be, because nobody wants chaos. It's just quite interesting to see. But giving an opinion to say when a young person is demanding what is needed by him is always an aspect of distractor. I think that is a different opinion about issues, because if you look at, for example, the generation of 1976 in South Africa, when these students stood up to say we are not feeling the need to learn Afrikaans as an official language, which is a minority language. Why are we learning that? What is the use of learning that? And they stand up against the apartheid government, and they were celebrated so much. But you want to tell me that that was influence in some occasion? Is the ability of a person to think clearly, to say, if I'm not standing up and people listen to me, I will not be understood. But nobody support chaotic activities. Nobody support riots. But because it's not always about demonstration. There are various ways that you can give your unhappiness about how things are being done. And looking at this, even outsiders can also get opportunity to destroy the country. Because when you have vulnerable young people, they may end up doing what external forces want them to do, because they are angry, because they feel that they are doing the right course. But a lot of things are involved. But the question that you need to ask yourself is that, how did Madagascar come to this point? How did other African countries come to this point? Because there are always things which triggered. Somebody asked, what triggered? There are always things which are triggering those situations. And that's why a situation like this could have been avoided long time ago by prioritizing the basic needs, basic human rights. And also the fact that the government was dissolved, it means that something was not done right. But the question is that, what can we learn from here? What do we need to do moving forward? And how is the future of SADC? Because, you know, what is very interesting is that SADC was supposed to release a statement long time ago. But now, because the person who was supposed to release a statement is a person who is cornered, is quite not well understood in that context. But yeah, looking at the time, we are at 57 minutes past the hour of 6. And from 7 there, I'll be joined by Kanjoka Kwanyoka, just to look at the international credit rating, agencies. Who are these international credit rating agencies? What is African peer review mechanism review saying about international credit rating agencies? What are some of the challenges? And also to look at, in terms of continental trading, continental, credit rating agencies, what is that which need to be done? And also, some of these institutions also which are scaling, or they are classifying you, what influence do they have in your development? Because investors' confidence matters. and those who want to enter business with you met us. And why are they dictating? Why are they dictating? And is there what degree of objectivity which are these credit, rating agencies are coming up or are having, particularly moving forward and also looking at African countries? Because when you look at the debts that African countries have, when you look at the loans that they want to acquire, when you look at the recommendation which they are given, it's quite completely different when you are looking at other countries in the whole world. But yeah, I'll be joined by Nginomeno just to look at that aspect and also to expand on that, because he is the one with insight. He's the one with content of that nature, particularly the content on economics of trade and also issues of borrowing and issues of lending. And he's going to join us in a few minutes just to unpack that aspect.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa bora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Siwana sana Namibia. Kamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na Imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongo dhiwe yopeke pamwe na Imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshiwana no kwanja kakaneka onjimbo moshiwana ashihe sha Namibia. Moka epaka Imba otamu adhika ehwata jonjimbo dhoongereka dhayoroka. Ngashi ehangano ja Elsin, omaimburiro joshiherero, simane kakarunga ja katolika karo.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, and I'm joined by Nginomeno Varihangara, that is Kanjokan Kwanyoka, just to take us through, especially issues of borrowing, issues of credit rating, particularly from the African context. And it was indicated that there was a release of the 11th edition of African Sovereign Credit Rating Review, but just for listeners out there to understand clearly and also to get a basic definition to say, when you speak about credit rating agencies, who are these people and what are their role to national development? Ngina Melovari, good morning. And thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing great. Good morning to you.
Yes, I'm well. And yeah, maybe just to start with it before we go deep into it, to say when you speak about credit rating agencies, particularly in the context of Africa, who are these institutions? What are their roles? What are some of benefits which are coming from this, and what challenges are there? But who are these credit rating agencies?
Yeah. Yeah, context is very, very important.
Yeah.
And if you look now in terms of the direction,
yeah,
in terms of the direction the African continent is going,
yeah,
if you look at now the conversation that you are having in terms of doing things different, moving in different direction,
yeah,
trusting ourselves. So a credit agency supposed to assist me as an investor.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, I'm just sitting somewhere in my village in Okwalondo, and I probably have 500,000 and I want to invest it somewhere.
Yeah.
And some of the most popular and easiest assets to invest in are government bonds or sovereignty credit, sovereignty debt. Sovereignty debt means government debt. Now, I cannot travel to Sudan. I cannot travel to Cameroon.
Yeah.
But I want, they have listed that they want debt. So now you as an investor, you need an independent body.
Yeah.
That can continuously assess the bankability, or if I can use such a word, of countries, which debt are good for me to invest in.
Mm.
Which is that independent institution that is able to do a proper assessment on Sudan and tell me, yes, Sudan debt is proper, meaning their ability to default or their ability to pay back your money as they promised is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what the credit agency does.
Mm.
They collect information and they assess and they provide opinions for investors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because like I said at the beginning, you can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
And some of us do not even understand the financial jargons, the ability of the country, their revenue, ability to collect revenue, and what else they are spending money on. That's why now the rating agencies are quite important to have, especially the opinion that they do. And their independence or their ability to be influenced by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is valuable about credit agents is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they say. If they lie about Namibia, that means Namibia is not going to get cheaper debt.
Mm-hmm.
If they lie about Zambia, then that means Zambia is going to struggle to raise debt.
Mm.
And sometimes debt is needed because of the budget deficit or inability to collect enough because economy experiencing headwinds and the social demands are high.
Mm-hmm.
So you need now somebody who is independent. They are like media.
Mm-hmm.
They are like media, but the current media is no more independent. It's influenced. It's being bought out. So, but those are what the credit agencies are. They give a rating to various government, to various corporate, on their debt, on their ability to borrow, to return money, just about their financial standing to convince those who want to give them money.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a study which was done. There's these three international credit rating agency, Moody Investor Service, Fitch Rating, and also S&P Global Rating SP. Now, what is the perspective of the African leaders, particularly when it's coming to these international rating agencies? What do they think about them?
Yeah, I really don't want to use African leaders because they don't have an opinion, man. And what I mean they do not have opinion is that African leaders are not honest people.
Mm.
I'm being honest with these because I don't like the rating agencies. I don't like their hypocrisy. But if I am to choose an opinion, I cannot listen to African leaders. Unfortunately, not. You can, because these are the people who keep borrowing and borrowing, and they cannot be honest where the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to their opinion or what they think about the rating agency, no, I totally don't care what they say because they don't deserve an opinion because you cannot keep borrowing and you do not want to be transparent and you're not using the money. No, right.
Mm.
But I would rather use the opinion of various experts, various economists, even one of our own, Salome Hay, he also had an opinion on credit rating. I would rather use those truly African economists
mm-hmm.
or people who look at the prospect of Africa in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
As for the political leaders, all they do is just make noise and cry. No. This one, their opinion on credit rating shouldn't be really something that we should base ourselves on. Because, David, you can't just be borrowing money, not use it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you borrow money, then you go tell us that you are unable to pay, but you are living in a villa. You all these things. You are buying assets in offshore account. Like now, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Debt is not bad.
Yeah.
And as much as the investors or the people who give us money, they are not African. They still deserve their money back. So that is where the point. There, I'll remove my biasness of being an African and loving my continent.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't really, really use political statements on credit rating as a basis. No.
Yeah. Now there's this study also found challenges such as refusal to invest in incontinent analysts and also the physical presence of these rating agencies. I want to understand, are they not having stations in Africa or they are just predicting from outside? How do they get the data and how do they verify? And who is in charge of, rating? So there is no involvement of African people in that rating?
Yeah, that one is an interesting one.
Yeah.
They come once or spend a week,
mm.
talk to your Minister of Finance,
mm-hmm.
look around here and there, then they give an opinion. It's one of the most dumbest things because the opinion of the credit rating is so important.
Yeah.
And you cannot have three or four people flying in and talk to people and talk to my leaders, then give an opinion that will have an impact for a whole financial year to it.
Mm, 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 mm.
Because as soon as you say Namibia is rated to B or it's now almost near junk.
Hmm.
Then investors are already making their decision not to give money to Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So I will also agree with Tate Mahama, the president of Ghana,
mm-hmm.
who's saying that yes, that there should be a different methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Some structural reform has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that, let the credit agency have offices in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the same thing I say. People do not understand the size and the importance of the informal economy because they live in Kleinwindeck.
Yeah.
They studied somewhere in South Africa and they just produce a report of how the banks are doing well and they think the economy is doing well. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing for the credit agency. You mm-hmm. cannot just come here for a week.
Mm.
And you do not understand the structural things that Namibia is going through, then you are making a statement.
Mm, 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 mm.
No. So I'm also in disagreement with their approach of how they collect the data.
Mm.
Because there is potential for things to get better.
Mm, mm,
I mean, the perceived risk
mm.
that we attach to Africa at this stage as somebody who went to school or who understand the things and you keep using perceived risk.
Yeah.
I think there is some sort of colonial mindset that many of these analysts from Europe or wherever,
yeah.
they still attach they perceive the risk that Africa is just risky.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's able to explain why. What do you mean Africa is risky? Which part is risky? Is Namibia risky if you are able to come in our country, do what you want, get your money out?
Yeah.
You know, then where is the risk?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the risk?
Mm.
Yeah, if you can say yes, we have one of the best financial systems. We are here jumping around to follow whatever the global financial bodies are saying for us to fix our financial systems.
Yeah.
Then you have some guy sitting in New York,
mm-hmm.
you know, rating us. No. So I'm also on that particular part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also in disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot measure my health
mm-hmm.
by spending just a week with me.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Now there's also, I think the report is also indicating to say, these credit rating agencies, they are also have trust issues, particularly when it's coming to statistics in Africa, and in most cases they end up using their own projections. And what is your take on that?
You know, if you go, like, let me use Fitch or whatever. If you go in their things where they explain their rating,
mm.
if you do not have time, you will not finish reading it.
Mm.
It's so complex, it's so tedious.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why it comes back at what I'm saying.
Mm.
Nobody will trust your rating if you don't spend time with me. Even the people who trust the rating that is given to Africa, European and Americans,
mm.
but us here, even myself,
mm.
you look, for me, as much as Fitch and others are all, they are all a reputable company.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm also a thinker myself, an independent thinker.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just tell me, no matter how good your methodology is, you can't measure how health us or our economy and our ability to do certain things by just being here for a week. It's just impossible. It's just impossible. And again, you when you are going to talk to my minister, okay, how are things? He will tell you what he has to tell you. But be here for 2 months and 3 months. And do some proper analysis and listen to the sentiment. Look at the movement of things on the ground. So it's not always about the methodology itself. It's about how is that methodology, that system being fed? What are you feeding? Because the outcome is always what you are feeding the system itself or the methodology. It's not just about the variable. No. What is feeding the variable? What type of data are you using? You know? So on that, I also disagree. I also disagree with the approach of collecting their data and their estimation. Because this is now the most important thing. You cannot estimate something that you do not understand. It's not about, you're an economist, you're an analyst, you're a quant. This is not about understanding the variable of the numbers. No. Estimation need to be fed by also sentiment on the ground.
You need to be on the ground.
And you cannot just even, because Namibia now is starting a green hydrogen, we are going in a good direction, or they have said something about agriculture. No, those are statements. There are the other sentiments around the different sectors.
Yeah.
Around the different sectors that can actually influence estimate. And estimate, as a proper analyst, estimate, they have to be guided by the sentiment that are going down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, what you are estimating, because variables are not the AI which they can feel the sentiment that are going on. They depend on the numbers to feed them, and the numbers alone are not enough. So you need the sentiment that are coming from different sectors for you to do a proper estimate.
Just last two more questions. Let us look at the aspect of influence. Can a credit rating agencies be influenced to pursue a certain agenda? And also, what limit African countries to come up with their own credit rating agencies? Because I'm always seeing, especially when it's coming to international ranking, everything is coming from the West, but we don't have a lot of say. Even being part of FAFT, for example, what Financial Action Task Force and many other institutions. I don't think Africans have their own, but in this report they are also speaking about looking internal. What is your view on that? First, let's start with influence, then we come to African-owned credit rating agencies.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate much.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate much, but looking at the global dynamics and the historical maneuvering of the European and the Americans, one will not say no.
Mm-hmm.
One will not say, look, the wars that are going in Africa all given weapons.
Yeah.
Do you know that, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's in Sudan, whether it's in Somalia, wherever, the pirates, they're all having guns. Where are they getting the guns?
They're well armed.
They're all getting guns. They're all having tanks. They're all having cars or vehicles of war brands in DRC.
Yeah.
They're having guns.
Yeah.
They're having bombs.
Mm.
Then you have some weapon producing country in Europe saying, no, DRC, stop fighting. Then you look at them like, nigga, please. You know, like you cannot be manufacturing weapons and selling them and then come stand here and tell people not to fight. It's just dumb. It's just hypocrite, hypocritical. So if you look from such a perspective, if you have country producing weapons and giving them to African militants, then you come and tell me here that they might not even have audacity to influence decision of how Africa is perceived. Then I would disagree, because if you can make weapons for me to come and kill me and my brother to come and kill each other, how will you give an honest opinion about my financial standing? I'm just saying, I'm not, but reality is reality.
Yeah.
And I'm using the cruel and the deepest one.
Yeah.
Because if you care so much, you'll not give weapons to people that are killing kids. But then for you to come and tell them, no, just trust me, that opinion of ours is good. So I'm not going to speculate and say, yeah, man, and because it's a reputable company. But again, where are their offices? Where are their domiciles? You know, so it might not be, but I do not know. And remember, we subscribe to those things willingly, I guess. Because for them to make opinions, because we have subscribed and we agree that they can. But if you are not domiciled in my country, you come for 2 months and you make an assessment, then I'm not happy. So that you can have rooms, perhaps, to be influenced. But I haven't really found a report done that this is how they're influenced. No, I do not have that. But the perception or which is coming from a lot of African researchers, I think there is now a consensus that the perception and the risk attached to Africa is not the right one. And if that is the case, who is attaching to it? Then that is when you are able to, maybe you can discard my first statement that, okay, this, if you have the consensus being reached by all these upcoming non-European aligned analysts that are not agreeing with the perception given to Africa, then there must be something not right.
Last one, Continental Rating Agency. Is it going to have credibility? Is it going to be trusted by investors? Because in most cases, when you look at investors, we look from outside, but we also have internal investors. But what is your view on Continental Rating Agencies?
Okay. I'll come back to your African leaders. Credibility is subjective. Credibility is very, very simple.
Yeah.
Just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I will trust a Namibian rating agency, an independent one.
Yeah.
Because look, if you look at our Minister of Finance, if you look at our Bank of Namibia, even me, a simple dude, I can get how much government owe. Like literally, I can just call. I'm able to follow the track of how money, what and what. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why we trust the Bank of Namibia. That's why we trust certain institutions. So if a rating agency is going to be independent and my Bank of Namibia trust it, I think we can. It's just that there are certain countries that have so much influence.
Mm.
And they have to fix their structures. Because if you are going to have a rating agency based in Angola and rating us, until they get their things right, credibility will not be there. But South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, we have been moving in the right direction in terms of governance. And our central bank are quite reputable.
Yeah.
They're doing well. Yeah. Regardless of the alignment to the Western methodologies, I think I can still trust those central banks.
Yes.
So, and with the FTA coming, the funding gap is so huge.
Uh-huh.
The infrastructure funding is so huge. There's such a backlog.
Mm-hmm.
Even the African Development Bank, I think I also trusted them.
Mm-hmm.
They are credible institution of how they do things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really needed for the African to have their own perception.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have so much capital. We have so much capital in Namibia. Our market is so liquid. Like, you know, there's so much capital lying around.
Mm-hmm.
But that capital will not move if there's no reputable independent body to validate the investment opportunity that exists.
Yes. Just your final input regarding credit rating agencies and moving forward.
We need one.
Yeah.
We need one. And the African Development Bank, I don't know about OAU. OAU is just politicians who go to Addis Ababa and give long speeches. But the African Development Bank, the African Bank, our central banks around Africa, I think we need one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We need a rating agency because capital is available.
Mm-hmm.
But the capital needs to be told where is the best place for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can have such a rating agency that is going to be independent from political influence, that is going to have proper governance and very transparent in their methodologies, then Africa really, really need to make that happen as soon as possible so that capital can flow freely, like between stock exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We are still dominated by the South African Stock Exchange, you know? Why? Because it's the only bigger and known stock exchange. But if you can have a rating body that can do an assessment of the Botswana Stock Exchange and Namibian Stock Exchange and give a proper opinion and also a rating agency that is able to scrutinize our government books proper and see how transparent and how we are moving our things.
Mm.
Capital will move freely, my God. Mm-hmm. So we truly need to start listening at people that are based in New York, what they are saying. No, a person is going to talk about Africa. Let them be based in Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be based in Addis Ababa, where they have a closer look of what we are doing and how things are going within the continent.
Yes. Kanjuga Nkwanyoka, thank you for your time. Thank you for your input.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes. Yeah. That was Kanjuga Nkwanyoka. It's an in-house economist. And that is what he has to say, particularly when it's coming to credit rating agencies. Because before an investor comes into the country, they look at the data, they look at statistics. And the question that we are asking ourselves is that when you are looking at these data and statistics, who is giving them this data? Who has much say in this data? And African countries, they also realize that, you know, in some occasions, you may come in my country, and I'm giving you information, but when we look at your report, what you give to out there is not necessarily what I gave you. And this is an aspect of not having a presence in Africa. How do you assess African financial system if you are not living in Africa, if you don't have offices in Africa, and if you are not also using internal analysts? You know, one of the things that we've been debating about, especially with EMS and also BES, one of the things that we've been debating about is the aspect of external consultant. Because I've been asking people to say, look at where Namibia is, look at where South Africa is, look at where Botswana is. Then ask yourself this question. We have developmental partners. They are very good developmental partners. But even somebody who wants to make a decision, you will not trust my research, my opinion as a local consultant, but you rather listen from somebody from EU who just been in Namibia for 2 days or 5 days then you get that opinion. But in most cases, this person does not have, a home ground advantage of knowing the environment, how things are operating. But just because a person is an expert, because he's coming from EU, because he's coming from, and I'm not just saying specifically EU, any other international funding partners, just because the person is coming from that or from United States of America, then he must be the lead consultant in that project. He must be the lead consultant in establishment of that plan or that strategic plan. But at the end of the day, we end up asking ourselves, why do we have well-crafted plans which lack implementation? And it's the same with credit rating agencies. Africans are complaining to say, you guys, you are rating us. You guys, you are between us and investors, but you don't stay in Africa for quite some time. So why can't you incorporate internal African analyst? And also the other thing, let us look at while we are speaking about data and statistics. I think it's important also to look at NSA. Let us look at NSA and move.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsie Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Dieren, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
We are moving with early morning scoop, especially looking at the credit rating agencies. What are some of the challenges with credit rating agencies? And we spoke about issues of data. And this report here, the 11th edition by APRM, indicating that, these credit rating agencies must be relook at the way they do things, because in most cases, they also don't rely on local data. They do their own projection. And my question has always been, can they be influenced? Can they be influenced? Because you are standing between me and the investor. Can you be influenced? But one of the examples which was given is that why do you have the countries which are talking about global peace, but they are number one in terms of manufacturing of weapons which are used in Africa? Because the other thing about what is very interesting about African Union and their aspiration is that there is always an aspect of silencing of the gun. But where are the guns coming from? How many companies in Africa are manufacturing guns? But when you look at the M23 military parade, you will be able to understand that these weapons that these people are carrying, these are not your ordinary G and Joe weapons that you can take to a hunting ground. These are machine guns which can destroy, and these are up-to-date weapons. And the people have a night vision glass. But the question has always been, has there been influence from the outside to create an opportunity in the market? Can also credit rating agencies being influenced by external, investors? Can also be, can they be weaponized? And there is an aspect of, the proposal of continental rating agencies. And one of the things that Kanjenko stated is that if it's transparent, if it does not have, political influence, if it's independent, then it's good. Because remember, you cannot have development without criticism from think tanks, for example. You cannot have development without an open opinion or independent opinion, because in most cases, when you look at the African continent, independent opinions, they have been always been seen as a political threat, or independent opinion has always been seen as, a threat to somebody's governance. But somebody's telling you to say, for the past, or for the last financial year, you spend 50% of your budget in the wrong investment, or you wasted money. Instead of you go back and say, what do you mean by that? Let me see, why are you saying that? You can go and say, no, this guy is not ours. This guy is, have a certain motive. But ask yourself, why African countries are where they are today? Could they have listened to independent opinion? Or could they have invested in independent institution, not only rating agents, but think tanks, organizations which can come up with independent research and advise government, independent academicians, an academic who can say, this is what you are saying, but in my line of thinking, supported by data which I collected, which is part of my line of work, this is what it means. Because there is nothing which can fail the state than an academician appointed by either agencies of government to conduct the research. But after coming up with data, this person found out that, no, these data are not pleasing somebody who sent me. Then you end up cooking data. Then who are you fooling? Those who are supposed to receive services. Because had we have independent academicians who, once you are given an opportunity to do a study, for example, for a government, give the data which are there, because you are not only saving yourself, you are saving the whole, our country. Because where we are now, we could have been better. But that is, something that need to be interrogated, something that need to be looked at, especially when you are when it's coming from, internal assessment, because internal assessment always matters. Because if you are good with internal assessment, the external assessment can just be a compliment, or you are already aware of what you have. But if data are not in order here at home, how will we expect somebody from outside just come with a suitcase and a laptop, then stay in Namibian hotel for 1 week? Then I can go and produce a report that, no, you guys are standing here. Your financial system is like this, is weak. And this is what you need to do. How will you trust that opinion? Are you opening up a market for other people to come in? Or you are blocking people to come in? So it's something that need to be assessed. And also the matter of looking outside for external validation. Because if you continue to look outside without understanding what is inside, we wouldn't move. We are not going to move forward. That's why this report was produced, and also to look at that aspect. Because remember, currently what's happening in the world, especially from the African leaders, they are not happy with international financial institutions, the way they treat African countries, the way they treat the southern, states or the third world countries. They are not happy, because if US go to IMF to get a loan, you are not going to be given the same percentage of, paying back. Because you are regarded as a risk investment, a risk business, a risk investment. And you are the one who need assistance, and you are the one who is paying more. That's why when you are looking at this thing, we must also be cognizant about what's happening around the world, to say, with all the global dynamics, could it be that institutions can also be influenced? Which is not what I'm saying, but could it be the case where you have a divided world in terms of, either it's a trade war, or it's war itself, which is happening. So that is one thing that we need to look at it, and also one thing that we need to analyze moving forward. You can still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and today we are discussing issues of credit rating agencies, and also what do we need to do, especially when it comes to data. Yeah, the other thing that we must look at is the aspect of International Criminal Court, and also to ask questions, to say, when it comes to those who committed crimes in Africa, when it comes to those who committed war crimes in Africa, how come they become priority number one when it comes to, international prosecuting authorities such as International Criminal Court? Yeah, because this expression is linked to the fact that when you look at what is currently happening, especially in International Criminal Court, you may be able to realize that International Criminal Court has convicted the former Sudanese militia leader of atrocity committed in Darfur, and conflict, and on the conflict which is more than 20 years ago. Now, in this case, the judges in The Hague found that Ali Mohammed Ali, who is also known as Ali Kushambi, is guilty of 27 counts of war crimes against humanity, including murder, rape, torture, and persecution. His sentence will be determined after new rounds of hearing. Now, just to be independent, is there a hypocrisy in International Criminal Court? Because some people, they can be even given a warrant of arrest, or a report can be given of a genocide committed. Because when you look at this Sudanese militia, it's not, I'm not saying what he did is right, but I'm saying what he did is less than what had been committed by certain leaders outside the world, I mean outside Africa? What is the hypocrisy of international institutions in upholding international laws? Because international laws, the interesting thing about international law is that they must be respected, and there is no a smaller or a bigger country in the world. But how things are now, where have you seen somebody who has a warrant of arrest presenting in parliament, for example? Where have you seen a most wanted person presenting in the lawmaking house? But when you look at the United Nations General Assembly, you see somebody, there's warrant of arrest to arrest that person. Then this person is there at the open addressing you. But what is the hypocrisy of international institutions? And what can we learn, especially from the African perspectives? From this side of Africa. Because here you commit something, they say, no, we are coming to pick you tomorrow. We are going to pick you up tomorrow. Very fast. Or arrest that guy. Or it's almost the same example I was giving to say somebody stole a cow, can go to prison for 35 years, but somebody who killed somebody can just be sentenced for 5 years in prison. But that is what's happening. Looking at Darfur in Sudan, it's still an unstable country. Still those who are running the country are those who have big guns, those who are not only supported by the people, but also supported by military capacity. And somebody spoke about war being an expensive business. But when you go deep and analyze that issue, you may be able to realize that in most cases, when international criminal courts are prosecuting these people, when they are prosecuting these people, they must look at the whole chain to say, you are a rebel, where were you buying guns from? For example, who was supplying you with guns? And for how long? Because if you have been in conflict for 20 years, there is a consistency. Even your supplier knows. Your supplier knows what you do with guns. If there are children who are child soldiers who are armed with M5 and machine guns, those who are selling guns must also be responsible, must also be held accountable to say, you are selling guns to terrorists. You are the reason, there is genocide in Africa, or people are being killed, women are being killed. Because if you look at the way the rebels are wearing, the firepower that they have, even the national military themselves, they understand that these guys, you have to handle them careful. But who is influencing that? Because if you look at it from an independent perspective, you may be able to see that somebody give you a gun, you commit a crime, and is coming to pick you up and prosecute you. And I'm not saying you are innocent, but you find the same person who is producing guns, committing a certain crime, given warrant of arrest, go and address International August House to say, if you put it that way. But yeah, that is what is happening. That is what's happening, particularly in the case of Darfur. It was also indicated that in that trial, 56 witnesses testified, and some of these were the community members, women who were assaulted, women from villages who were burned down, and also those who were part of those war against crime activities. Because it was also indicated that in that context there was also Darfur conflict, which erupted in 2003, and And it stated that looking at that aspect, one will also be able to see that around 300,000 people were killed and 2.7 million people were forced to leave their houses or left home. But we'll be able to see what will be the sentencing looking like. What will be the sentencing looking like? And can you win a case of this nature? Can a case of this nature being won? And that is what's happening in Darfur. Remember, there's a lot of warlords who have been in number one most wanted persons by international laws. A lot of them, but looking at how things are, you'll be able also to see that, you know, Africa, although we complain about being influenced, there's also an aspect of continental accountability to say what are those things that are within African controls that can be able also to be understood and also can be able also to inform that Africans, sometimes we need to take accountability of things that we do, and we don't necessarily need somebody from outside to tell us that what we are doing is wrong. So yeah, let us look at commercial break before we come and summarize what we have been discussing today, and before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. Stay tuned, and we'll be back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Siwana sana Namibia. Kamberera omwakarunga koe pamwe na imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongo dhiyo eyo peke pamwe na imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshiwana no kwanja kakaneka onjimbo moshiwana ashihe sha Namibia. Moka epaka imba otamu adhika ehwata joonjimbo dhoongereka dhayooloka. Ngaashi ehangano ja Elsin, omaimburiro joshiherero, simane kakarunga ja katolika karoma, joshimburu sang fortier noongereka dhimwe. Tudengera nena ngere owapumbwa omaimbiro ongereka yoye gakale ga gwedhwako koka epa ka imbako 081 2 583 0 6 3. Nenge ututumine o email ko digital@omalaiti.com. Oto vulu ku adha oka epa ka imbako App Store noko Google Play Store. Imonena imba goye nena.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And we are looking at the aspect of economic development. And just for your own information, that elections, especially regional and local authority elections, is happening next month. And it's up to you to make sure that you inform. It's up to you to make sure that, you know, you get informed, and also to make sure that, you get, you know, you put on the table what is that that you need from candidates that you are going to elect, because it's an issue of democracy. It's not only about voting, but it's also about knowing why you are voting, who you are voting, and, what is, this person standing for. because, like we discussed, is the area of you being able to ask those people to say, I'm going to vote you, David, but what are you going to do for me? What have you done for people beforehand? And also, what are you standing for? Because it's not quite a good thing when it's fine. People are going to vote, but just 1 month after they elect that person in power, they are here on radio complaining, no, the person is not doing what, but you had time to engage that person. You had time to see how you can do things. And it's also something that we should continue expanding on, to say, what is that citizen's accountability? You can also hold yourself accountable for things that you have not done. You can also hold accountable yourself for voting blindly or failing to advise your leader. Sometimes your leaders need your advice too. And you do not expect them to know everything. That's why we are saying, before local and regional authority election, things that we have seen since 2020 should not be repeated again. At least we should show that Namibians, we understand where we are going. Because being in a bus excited about the movement, but we don't know where the bus is going, particularly a certain local authority, is not correct. And having somebody who has been in power for 5 years without producing any document is really something that everybody must hold accountable for, either from any political party that person is coming from, to say, what were you doing 5 years in power? What is that you are going to do in you? And what is the price of you not doing the work? Because we shouldn't just meet before elections and after elections. There must be this continued engagement to say, how should we improve the line of communication, especially between the citizens and residents within that jurisdiction, particularly regional councillors. How do we improve that line of communication? What are the responsibilities of those councillors? And I hope you get also enough time to listen, especially to the Thursday program, and understand your responsibilities and the role which everybody should play in local and regional development, and also upgrading of cities and towns, because we cannot just have a situation where citizens do not even know who is responsible for development. Is the minister? Is the councillor? Is it the local authority councillor? Where should you report to? Is it the work of an administrator or is the work of a politician? What is the role of the work of a politician? And that's why when you are complaining, even you understand who was supposed to do what, when, and how. Because we need to iron out this element of communication, element of relationships between the governed and the leader, particularly the political leader. And also, we also need to understand, plan based on what is there. Plan based on what is on the table. Know what is in the budget. How is the budget is being brought about? Who should get what projects are in line? And let us not be ignorant, because it's our right and it's our responsibility to make sure that Namibia gets somewhere. And those that which have been there quite for some time, particularly planning of prosperity. Every document speaking about prosperity is practical, to make sure that planning of prosperity is practical. So, hello?
Oh, David.
Yes, sir.
I think it's just a minute. I think you and I have spoken about the ratings.
Yeah. Okay. No, we did not.
Oh, we haven't. Oh, maybe at the program. So, and we have said,
yeah,
just like Kanjo Kampanyoka said, that many a times those people relay on the secondary data.
Mm.
The second data in your reporting and things like that is very important,
yeah,
crucial.
Yeah.
But it's not as if you are actually gathering primary data, analyze them, and all these other processes, and then apply them. So yeah. For them, they use this secondary data, maybe just from the, it's not, there's nothing wrong to just cut and paste from the thing, but you don't go really down to the people and ask them, interview them, interact with them. What are they really concerned, the reality on the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and many a times they do it for their own benefit because they don't want to get this money, they want to get these things. And even through the stabilization that we're talking about, maybe in Madagascar.
Yeah,
it's the same thing that is playing. So, because people say, okay, if your rate of unemployment is so.
I want to see an African person acknowledging the internal mistake that we have done and not necessarily to blame somebody from outside. Because it's not, I'm not disagreeing with you entirely, but it's not always about outside.
Yeah, even ourselves, we adopt the same mentality.
Yeah.
That is applied there. So and then you now have the internal insecurities and things like that. So, but what I'm saying is that the moment that they see it's not a demonstration, it's a protest. What is it?
Yeah, is it not the same?
So now when it's happening, they say, yes, yeah, there's a chaotic in Namibia or wherever. I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah.
So therefore, so let's quickly mobilize this regime change. Have you ever heard of that concept?
Yeah, I hear you.
Thank you very much. No?
All right, thank you. Yeah. We are coming to the end of our conversation. And yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. And also stay tuned. Stay tuned. Do not forget to download the app. Do not forget to download the app. And do not forget to make sure that you are up to date, especially with the Villager newspaper, which came out yesterday. It's coming out tomorrow. It's coming out on Friday. And make sure that you get the context of what is happening. And yeah, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Keep